Gina and I express deep appreciation for the opportunity to share this, what is for us a mission day and time here in your church at First Hochul. We have ties to this church through our family relatives and also through some dear friends, including family members. So it's always a joy to be here, and especially to say thanks for the partnership that you folks have with us in God's work out in the Far East. Now, as I share this closing message this morning, not a long sermon, I can assure you, but I'm going to bring God's word and weave into it some information about Myanmar, Burma, let you know a little bit about our responsibilities there as we seek to see God's kingdom extend into the lives of individuals in that country. Now, this psalm that was read is a psalm of prayer. The heading in my Bible says, it's a prayer for mercy with meditation on the excellencies of the Lord. And I trust that as you leave the service today, that you will take away some truth that we will see in this beautiful psalm of prayer. Prayer is crucial for Christian life and living. More has been accomplished through prayer than we could even ask or think. Someone has said more than this world could dream of. Prayer puts us in touch with God. It brings us into God's presence so we sense the fact that God is with us. The Bible commands us to always live, indeed to be in an attitude of prayer. We ought always to pray and never to cease. So in this psalm of prayer, we're going to see how it teaches us about three things, at least three things that I want to highlight. It teaches us about the Lord we worship. It teaches us about the Lord we serve. And it teaches us about the Lord in whom we must trust. The Lord we worship is not the God of the heathen nations. Look at verse 8 in this Psalm 86, where David says, among the gods, there is no God like you. If you turn over to Psalm 96 and verse 5, there we read that the Lord we serve, our God, He is the Creator God. He made heavens and He made the heavens, said David in Psalm 96. And that he also goes on in that verse, 96 verse 5, that all other gods of the peoples are idols. And of course, in missionary service, and we have had the opportunity to be in many countries in Southeast Asia, where God has placed us, and we understand the gods, something about the gods these people serve. Let's take just in Colombia, where Jean has taken you this morning. Their god is Buddha. Probably 90% of the people in that land worship Buddha. In Myanmar, also, 90%+ of the people there worship Buddha. In Hong Kong, where we have been based since 1965, in that nation, although it's developing and a developed, very much a Christian territory is Hong Kong, probably 15% of the people are strong evangelical Christians. But they have a tradition, a background of ancestor worship. And in their homes, they have a God shelf. And they worship the spirit of their ancestors. Taoism. In mainland China, communist China, there are people there who worship Buddha. Not many, certainly not the majority, because the communist leaders of that nation, they tell their people, 1.3 billion of them, that there is no God. There are no gods. And in Hong Kong, where we live, and in the Chinese church that we attend, we have the opportunity. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, the start of the new academic year, students from, 27 nations come to the one of the universities, the University of Science and Technology, 12,000 students. And among them, of course, the majority are coming from mainland China to do their, finish off their graduate studies or to do their research work on their PhDs. And it's amazing to see them immediately wanting to know more about the God of the Christians. They want to handle the Bible. They want to read it for themselves. And as a result, we have seen thousands of them, literally through the years, coming to faith in Jesus Christ, coming to know the true God who made heavens and earth, the Lord of creation. In India, that's a Hindu nation predominantly. And of course, the Hindus have millions of gods. But here is the psalmist in this psalm reminding us that there's only one living and true God. You can go into other nations of the world, and some of them are animists. They worship the sun and the moon and the stars, the water, the waves even. And so we have to remember that our responsibility is to introduce them, teach them about the Lord we worship, the Lord of David, the Lord of the prophets, the Lord of creation, the personal God to everyone who calls upon his name. And so many peoples in the nations of the world, we must remember on this Mission Sunday, they don't really, many of them don't know, they worship, they know not what, really. The Lord God that we worship, he is eternal. The definition of our catechism states, he's eternal, he's unchangeable. In his being, he is wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That is the Lord that we serve. And verse 8, the second part of that verse says, and there are no works, Lord, like your works. Verse 5 reminds us that he's a good God, that he forgives sins. And maybe in this church this morning, that you don't know forgiveness of sins. That is man's greatest need, just to have a knowledge that my sins are forgiven on the basis of God's love and the cross work of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. And David is testifying in this psalm, verse 5, oh God, you are so good. We sing a song about it, don't we? God is so good. He's so good to me. And he wants to be the good God, the forgiver of sins, the savior of every individual in his world. God, says David, you are good, ready to forgive, abounding in mercy to all those who call upon him. And if you will call upon him today, he is listening. And if you have ears to hear, he's calling you. He called me long before I heard. The pastor this morning has testified that on this date, so many years ago, he responded to that call. And God is calling you today. You may not hear because he calls all of us long before we respond or hear that call to which we finally respond. He's so good. He's so good to me. And we have seen his goodness manifested in the ministry at Hope House, illustrated briefly this morning. And we see it in our own ministries. I see it in Myanmar, where I'm mainly responsible for that ministry, traveling to 2 Bible schools that God has given us an open door to. 60 students registered for this academic year. And there we are with the privilege to teach them about the Lord and his word, disciple them, and then help equip them. And where necessary, resource them. That's when you give to missions, when you give to our work, you're helping to resource the training of young Christians in Myanmar. so that they can go into their own tribal regions predominantly and tell them about the true God and the only Savior of the world. The God we worship and the God we serve Him in the capacities that He has given us the privilege to do. When I started out in 1965 in Hong Kong, I went there under OMS as an evangelist in the ECC program, the Every Community for Christ program, working alongside local evangelists and going out into the towns and little villages in the new territories predominantly of Hong Kong, right along the China border, and had the opportunity to teach them about the Lord we worship, the true God, the only Savior. And it's been a thrill through the years to see how those people, those Chinese, the Hong Kong Chinese, have responded to the gospel. And today, in that work that we had the privilege of engaging in from 65, today there are 29 churches. The Hong Kong Evangelical Church, body of churches. And they are indigenous. They have their own worship buildings. They're sending out their own evangelists. And they're doing their own evangelism, and they're sending out their own missionaries as well across Asia and around the world. God builds His church. He calls us to serve Him. And He calls us to serve Him initially where we are. This is where mission begins, in this local church and in this local community. And the Lord we serve has saved us so that we will serve Him and work with Him, so that we will be workers together, laborers together, through the church, in the church, out from the church, as we labor together with the Lord of the harvest in bringing in that harvest to His glory in the nations of the world, as well as in our own community. So the Lord we serve, He is the Almighty God and only Savior of the world. And He calls us to serve, each one of us, just as He called us to serve, and as He still calls us. He leads us each step of the way as He calls us to be His laborers. The Lord we serve, those students in the two Bible schools, the Myanmar Vision Christian College and the Calvary Theological Missions Academy. They're with us for 4 years of study and training. And then on the fourth year, as they graduate, it's our privilege to assign them, see them assigned into their particular mission field. As I mentioned earlier, predominantly back into their own tribes. This is the key to the evangelization of the nations. Each individual country in the world will be evangelized in the measure that we can disciple, teach, train, equip, resource, and mobilize the local church, the local Christians. When the graduates that we have with us for 4 years, when they are released into the Chin Hills, for example, we have missionaries up in the northern Chin state, a little place called Thipan. And as they move in there, it's the evangelization of their own community and people. I could take you to a little district in southern Chin state known as Campalet. And there we have workers in a Christian boarding center. And we have them moving out into their own community to teach the gospel, to evangelize, to witness, and ultimately to plant a local church. These are evangelists. They are church planters. They are pastors. They are missionaries reaching their nation for Christ. We have the workers in the Shan state up near the China border in the northeast of Myanmar, Burma. Just last year, a graduate went to the southeast border of the nation, where Burma, Myanmar borders with Bangladesh. And there, they're doing missionary work among Muslims in that area where there is the conflict between the Muslims that come across the border from Bangladesh and the Buddhist reaction to that movement. But we have missionaries that want and have been called and therefore wanted us to locate them back into that region so that they can reach those people for Christ. We missionaries, we cannot go there. And this is the thing for us always to bear in mind, that in all nations of the world, and especially those unreached developing nations, if we get a visa, and it is an if, it's not automatic that when we apply we can get a visa to go into these countries. But when we can, and if we can, there are the limitations because of the restrictions put by the governments and put by the leaders of those nations. And so we are limited, we missionaries, in what we can do. We must do everything we can, but the locals can do far more than we can do. And so it's a privilege, it's a responsibility, it is our work to help disciple them, teach them, train them, equip them, where necessary, resource them, and release them and mobilize them that they can reach their nation for Christ, that they can serve the Lord in a way that even we could never do. But we have a partnership in doing that, and you have as well. And so when you give your funds and when you support missions, just think of the work you're doing in helping to reach the nations for Christ. And let's remember, friends, it's an unfinished task. It's an unfinished task, facing the task unfinished, for sure. We have workers in the Irrawaddy Delta region of Myanmar. We have workers in the former capital itself, Yangon, where our Bible schools are located. But it's a large city. And there are communities of Yangon that are 100% Buddhist. And just last year, we had graduates with a strong sense of call in their hearts to go right into the heart of that area, to take light into darkness. And that is so very, very important. The Lord we worship, Almighty God is He. The Lord we serve, we are all called to serve Him. The Lord we trust, and that's the bottom line. We have to have faith in God. Faith in the God who said, if you have faith in me, you can say to even the mountains, as it were, be removed. Be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And that's one of the things that's highlighted most in this psalm, is David's trust in God. Verse 7, he says, Lord, when I'm in trouble, I turn to you. Where do you turn to in your day of trouble? Do you phone a friend? Sometimes that's the temptation, isn't it? Just simply to deal with it at a human level. But there's some things that we can't deal with. There's some things that we need God's help for. There's a lot of things we need God's help for. And for you in this congregation today, there's probably a percentage of you, and this is a day of trouble for you. Well, you be encouraged, because David had his days of trouble. And immediately he turned to God, because he said, Lord, my trust is in you. He had faith in God. He says, and when I turn to God, he will answer me. That was his trust in God. He also trusted God to lead him. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Every one of us need God to teach us his way. Today, tomorrow, Only God knows the end from the beginning, or the beginning from the end. He's sovereign God, Almighty God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He knows everything. And because He's the God who knows everything and knows everything about us, and because He's the God of all grace and mercy and power, we can trust Him. And David opened his heart to God in every detail because he trusted in God. Look at verse 14 when he begins to spell it out. Indeed, in verse 1, he's honestly making his confession that he's just a saved sinner. I'm a poor, sinful individual. Well, aren't we all? We turn to the God who forgives us our sins. We turn to the God who is all-powerful, almighty God. Verse 10, who does great things. Verse 5, he says, God is good. He forgives my sins. He's delivered my soul from hell. And so we're going to heaven. We're not going to hell. That's what salvation is. Salvation from sin and from sinning. And the salvation that takes us to heaven. We're delivered from hell. That's David's testimony. And he's trusting in God, his Savior, who did this. And then he spells out, Lord, here's my problem. Exactly. There's a group of men, evil men, who have no regard for you, he says. And they're trying to kill me. They're trying to take my life. And so he called to God for help, believing that he is the God who comes to our aid in every situation, in every circumstance. We know that in our work in Cambodia. We know that in our ministry situation in Hong Kong among the students. We know that in Myanmar in our Bible school work. And as we work with these local people to set them on the same path. Verse 15, because God is gracious. Verse 5, he's a good God who forgives sins, who delivers us from hell, who teaches us his way so we can trust him. Verse 10, he's a great God who does miraculous things, does marvelous wonders. We know that. You've seen some evidence of it in the pictures this morning. Only God can do this. We can't. But we trust him, even to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Because verse 15, he's such a gracious God, long-suffering, full of compassion. And if your trust is not in him today, then think again. Put your trust in God. Trust him as your Savior. Trust him as the one who will direct your path, teach you his way. Trust him with an undivided heart. This is something else that David prayed about. Lord, let me be a wholehearted Christian. It's dangerous in our Christian faith and walk to have a divided heart. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. That doesn't work, friends. And David knew that. And so he prayed for a united heart, an undivided heart. This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you once again for who you are. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for your great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your call on all of our lives to be saved, for your call to be sanctified, sanctified Christians, as holy as it's possible for us saved sinners to be, your call to service. We pray you will teach us your way, every one of us. Give us that undivided heart. Help us to experience you today in our time of need as the gracious God who does wonderful things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.